Well, God bless you. And I just thank you for the opportunity to share God's word with each and every one of you. And today, this morning, I'm going to talk a little bit about the difference between rights and privileges. When I was 17 years old, I grew up in a really small town. And when I was 17, I had a 1961 Black Thunderbird. And that was my ride. And my best friend called me up on a Thursday night. It was a little weekend. Said, hey, let's go to Southern Pines, which is about 25 minutes away, because they had beer there and you could get it. So I said, she told her mom and I told Mama, we're going to the library. So we drive to Southern Pines and there's this little drive-up place. You drive through and you just get it and get in the car and go back. So we went, got back. I'm driving home. We were drinking our beer and all that. It's just one. But anyway, we're driving and got our beer and drank it and then got home. I dropped her off. I got home and my parents said, what were you doing in Southern Pines? And I'm going, what? And of all things, I have four uncles that lived in the same town. And he was coming home from Southern Pines, and he was behind me, and he saw my little Black Thunderbird. There weren't many of those back in those days. And so I got in a lot of trouble. And what I thought were rights were not. They were privileges. I couldn't drive anymore. I couldn't go out on dates anymore for a month. I was on campus, as my mother called it, which means you couldn't leave the house. You just go to school. So these things, I thought they were rights, but they weren't. They're privileges. So anyway, what we're going to talk about is our sonship rights, the rights that we have because we're sons of God. So go to Romans chapter 10, and in verse 9, the Word of God says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And we know that when we do this, we become sons of God. God plants the seed of Christ in us, and we are his kids. And because of that, he's given us certain rights. So let's look at Romans 5:19. And they can't be taken away, but you sure can take away some privileges, as I learned. In Romans 5:19, for as by one man's disobedience, many were made righteous, so by the obedience of one, many shall be made righteous. Many were made sinners. By the disobedience of Adam, many were made sinners, but by the obedience of one, Jesus Christ, our big brother, many were made righteous. We were made righteous. It wasn't anything we earned. We were made righteous. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I know we know all this stuff, but it's just good reminders. And in verse 30, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Wisdom, that's knowledge applied. Again, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Okay, so far we've got righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Go to Romans chapter 4, verse 25. In verse 25, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. These are all really big words, and I'm going to tell you what they mean in a minute. But he was raised for our justification. So let's go to one more we need to talk about, and that's 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. You're a new creation. You're a new being. You know, it's so funny. That's really cool. You're different. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To know, or to wit, to know that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed to us the word of reconciliation. Wow. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We are the righteousness of God. We are ambassadors for Jesus Christ. Is any of y'all, the oldies, were ambassadors? Wow, ambassadors. I was one in 1974. I was young and dumb. I'd just gotten in the war the year before, and then I wanted to do something great. So I went, wow, and I sent to Knoxville, Tennessee. And that year, they sent them out in branches. We had seven groups of four in that town. And we ran classes. We took classes. That's when all the new seminars came out, dealing with the adversary, renewed mind, all of those came out. And these rovers would come around, and we'd have these classes for us. And then we'd witness and have classes for the new people. And at the end of the year, it was so cool. We had 28 wows there. We had run four classes that year, and we had 28 to put them on the back of a dump truck or a pickup truck to go to Rock of Ages to go wow the following year. So each one won one to go wow. So it was a very successful year, and it was such so much fun. And my dad, I was 18 going on 19, 20. And my dad, I got home, and he said, you know, you left as a little girl, but you came back a woman of God. And it just blessed me so much, because I really did grow. When you put yourself on the line like that, you grow. You have to jump off cliffs sometimes. Anyway. So, what are all these words? We're ambassadors for Christ. We have the ministry of reconciliation. So, first of all, we were redeemed. We were bought with a price. The price of who? Jesus Christ, his blood. Because we were redeemed, we were justified, just as if we never sinned. And because we were just as if we were never sinned, we were made righteous. And righteousness is the God-given ability to stand before God Almighty, the devil, and any man without any sense of sin, guilt, or condemnation. And because we were redeemed and justified and made righteous, we got sanctification. We're set apart for heaven, and all hell can't stop us from going. So it's a no-brainer there. And because of all these things, it enabled us to carry out the ministry of reconciliation. And that's so amazing. God has limited himself to us. That's a big burden, but it's fun. You just live life and move the word. I was listening to a teaching the other day by Dr. Werrell, and he was talking about some people move the word on foot. Other people move the word on a bicycle. Some people move the word on horseback. Some people move the word on a motorcycle. Some people even move the word on a boat. And he just went, whatever you're doing, just move the word and just know where you are. And, you know, God, just know that where you are, there's no such thing as coincidence. So be aware that maybe you need to speak to somebody that's around you. And you'll see some signs, miracles, and wonders come up. It's kind of cool. Well, I'm going to read this poem to you. And it's an amazing poem. I just love this poem. Dr. Werrell read it to us. Or I don't think he wrote it. I don't know who wrote it, but it says, God has no hands but our hands in which to feed them bread. He has no feet but our feet to walk among the almost dead. We say we are his and he is ours. Deeds are the proof of this, not words. And these are the proving hours. So our great verse for this weekend is, go, stand, speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. And that word life is the word Zoe, every phase and facet of life. And it's not just life. It's the life that we have because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that's the only way you can have a full life with every aspect. So I'm going to pray. Father, I thank you for this day. Thank you for the greatness of your word. And it's what a privilege it is to be a son of God with all power, and that we can walk worthy of that vocation that you've called us to. And I thank you for these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.